Well, as it is a special Sunday, it is VBS Sunday. We are taking a break from our normally scheduled sermon series to talk about a lot of the same things that our children have been learning and discussing and thinking about all week long. The tagline of VBS was Route 14:6, and so we'll be looking at John 14:6 this morning. But the reading will begin in John chapter 13, verse 36. We'll read all the way to chapter 14, verse 11. I want to encourage you to follow along in a Bible. If you didn't bring one, you can grab one of the ones that's right there in the seat back in front of you. And those Bibles, you can find John chapter 13, verse 36, beginning on page 900. Please listen as I read. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." This is God's word for us today. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, it is my desire, I trust the desire of many here this morning, that you would speak to us, that we would hear your voice, that we would recognize your voice speaking to us this very day through your word right here. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's probably no surprise to you, in light of the themes and images that you see surrounding us this morning, that this whole idea of road trips has been on my mind all week. Initially, I thought about saying, "I love road trips." But actually, I don't think that's true. I think what I have to say is, "I love the idea of road trips." The idea of road trips is great. Getting in the car, going on some adventure to some fun destination, and who knows what you might encounter on the way. But actually, going on road trips can be a pretty significant ordeal. especially depending on the size of your family. But there's a lot of planning going on. Like, you got to figure out, okay, where are we actually going on this road trip, and why do we want to go there? How are we going to get there? How are we going to make sure there's enough snacks in the van to make sure we don't have to stop 100 times on the way there? And I have to be honest, I am a bit navigationally challenged. And so even when I know where we're going, and I even know that we have directions to get us there, I very often will forget the turn. And one of the things that I hear just as often in our van on road trips, besides "are we there yet," is recalculating as the GPS has to update to tell me where to go. I like the idea of road trips, though. But I imagine that you probably wouldn't think very highly of me if I told you that when we go on road trips, we just stick everyone in the van. We have no idea where we're going. We just pull out of the driveway and get to the very next stop sign and go, which way do you want to go? Left or right? Let's try right. Get to the next light. Which way should we go? Well, let's try left. And we just kind of randomly take turns at every turn, hoping to finally get someplace we might actually want to be. Now, it might be a comical thing to imagine, but like I said, if I told you that's how we actually did road trips, I think that you would probably think that I was a rather foolish person. And so my question to you is, why is it that so many of you navigate life that way? Why is it that so many of us seem to get up every single day not having any actual clear idea of what our ultimate destination really is? Like, what are we actually trying to obtain in this life? Where are we actually trying to go with our lives? And do we actually have any real idea of how we're going to get there? You know, my observation, it seems like many of us are just coming up to the next stop sign in life, coming up to the next crossroads, just going, which way do I want to go? Left or right? Let's take a turn and see where it might lead us. And wouldn't it be nice to have a much clearer picture of where it is that we want to go and how it is that we can actually get there? That's where Jesus' conversation here in John's gospel, I think, is really helpful for us, really instructive to us. It's all about how to get where we want to go. Now, listen, I don't know how much familiarity you have with the Bible, but I don't think you need to really be an expert to listen to the passage that I just read to you to realize that whatever's going on here, whatever it might mean, whatever Jesus says in chapter 14, verse 6, is probably has something to do with like the main thing that Jesus is talking about, where he comes and says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Some of you are like, "Yeah, I love that. That's like one of my favorite verses. I memorized that when I was a kid, or I memorized that last week." And it is a great verse. It's an incredible verse. But so often we say it or we hear it and it's just kind of like Bible words. The way, the truth, and the life. All sounds great, but what is Jesus actually saying when he says that he is the way? He is the truth, the life. What is he actually getting at? I think one of the ways you could maybe put it into words that you and I would actually use today, what Jesus is saying to his disciples here, and what the Bible is saying to you and me here this morning, is that Jesus really is the only way to get where you really want to go. Jesus is the only way to get where you really want to go, which is really good news to all of us who are trying to navigate the twists and the turns of this life. It's really good news. But you might hear that and you might be thinking, wait a minute. Like, who do you think you are to suggest that you know where I really want to go? How can Jesus really be the only way to get where I want to go if you don't even know where I want to go? Well, here's the thing. I think I kind of do. I think I kind of know where you want to go because I think we all, generally speaking, I think we all kind of want the same thing. One of the words that we sometimes use to describe it is this idea of home. We just sang about this. We're all kind of looking for home. We're all trying to make our way home or make this life as much of a home as we possibly can, and all the things that come along with the idea of home. Safety, security, some comfort, some peace, a place where there's people that we know and we love who also know us and love us, a place to really actually like really be known for who we are, to be seen and still accepted and loved. Sure, we may have different ways of articulating it and certainly have different ways of going about looking for it, but I think at the end of the day, isn't that at least something close to what it is that we all want? What Jesus is saying is that he really is the only way to get there. I want to do my best to show you that from this passage in three simple moves. You could probably guess what they're going to involve. They're going to involve the way, the truth, and the life. And we begin with the way. Essentially, what that means is when Jesus says, I am the way, essentially what that means is that Jesus paves the way. Jesus paves the way. The only way we can get where we really want to go is through Jesus, because Jesus is the one who paves the way for us to get there. We see that in this conversation that begins with Peter asking Jesus, wait a minute, like, where are you going? The reason why he's asking that question, because here in John's gospel, Jesus has been sharing what he then told his disciples would be his last meal with them before he was about to go away. You can imagine the disciples are pretty distraught when they hear this. I mean, they love Jesus. They've been following Jesus for a handful of years now. They left everything to follow Jesus, and now Jesus is saying, guess what? I'm going away. But Peter's like, Jesus, where are you going? And in a way that seemingly only Jesus can somehow get away with, he doesn't really answer his question. He doesn't, at least initially, say, here's where I'm going. Peter says, where are you going? And Jesus says, where I am going, sorry, Peter, you can't come. He says, you can't come now. You can't come yet. But here's the good news, Peter. Eventually, you are gonna get there. Eventually, you are going to follow me and get where I'm going. And Peter's like, well, why can't I come now? Like, I would lay down my life for you, Lord. It's as if he's saying, like, what, you don't think I love you enough to be able to get where you want to go? You don't think I'm motivated to get there enough? Poor Peter. It's not so much an issue of motivation as it is an issue of ability. Besides, Jesus tells Peter that very night, his motivation would come to nothing as he would actually deny Jesus, not even just once, but three times. And here's the really encouraging thing. Even though Peter is going to do that, Jesus still says, but don't let your heart be troubled, because guess what? I am still gonna make sure that you're able to go where I'm going. He says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. Here's this whole idea of home once again. And I know as we're talking about this journey, we're gonna have to talk about what we really mean by this destination. For the moment though, we're gonna come back to this. For the moment, let's just leave it at this idea of this destination of home, because here Jesus is focusing on the way of getting there. He says, listen, if I go and prepare a place for you, I am going to come back and get you. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, he is the way because he goes before us. And the only way we can get where we want to go is if he goes there first. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that he is the way. Jesus really is the only way to get where you want to go because he paves the way. He goes first so that he can get us where we want to go. I mean, I really think the best way to think about this is a paved road. Now, you and I take the idea of paved roads for granted almost every single day. Our driveways are paved. Our side streets are, most of our side streets are paved. And they're all interconnected. We just kind of follow the directions. But imagine if you needed to get someplace that you really wanted to go and there were no such thing as roads. You realize that's how challenging it would be? Do you realize how difficult it would be? Do you realize how impossible it would actually be to get there? Hear what Jesus is saying is, he is going to this place. He is going to this thing that he refers to as his Father's house. He's going there first so that we can follow. He's paving the way. I know that raises all sorts of questions. Well, how we're gonna get there? But before we do, I wanna make sure that this hits us. The fact that Jesus is saying that he's the way means that there is a way. I think you and I, sometimes we just take this for granted. We just assume like, of course, we're living in a world where there has got to be a way to get where we really want to go. Like, of course there is. We just assume like, yeah, there's a way. There's probably even multiple ways. But why would we actually assume that? Like, why would we just automatically take for granted and assume that there's got to be a way for us to get wherever it is that we want to go? I think sometimes the reason why we assume that there must be a way is because we don't want to consider the alternative. We don't want to consider the alternative that we might actually be living in a world where there is no possibility of actually getting where we want to go. Other than just not wanting to imagine that, my question to you would be, why would we assume that? Why should we assume that we are actually living in a world where there must actually be a way to get where we want to go? And I think the reality is because there's something about our experience. There's something about our experience of being in this world, as broken as it is. There's something about our shared experience of life in this world that tells us there must actually be a way to get where we want to go. And what Jesus is saying is, guess what? There is. It's me. It's him. He's the way. So what that means is, get on the road. Get on the road by following Jesus. Let me also say to those of you who are already on this road, let me give you this just brief encouragement before we move on, to stay on the road. It's probably to everyone's benefit in the room to hear this, but those on the road and those still considering, you should probably know. It's great news to know that there is a way, but often, very often, sometimes following Jesus can feel like the road is leading you in a direction that you still don't really want to go. What I simply want to say to you this morning is, isn't that true of all journeys worth taking? I mean, how often do you travel someplace where you know the clear destination? Let's just say you're heading north, and yet the only way to get there, the only way to get there safely sometimes is to take turns that will take you east, west, and sometimes even south, only to eventually land you where you want to go. The same is true of following Jesus in this world. So many times he will take the road in directions that we would never have anticipated. But all the same, Jesus says he's the way. So follow him on the way to get where we really want to go. And I know you still might be waiting, like, wait a minute, I'm still gonna need some more on this whole destination thing of where we're going. And again, we're gonna get there. But first I wanna say more about why we can be confident that Jesus actually is the way. You see, he doesn't just pave the way, Jesus also reveals the truth. Jesus reveals the truth. Remember, he says, I am the way and the truth. And look, I'm just gonna be totally honest with you. When Jesus says, I'm the way in this conversation, it makes perfect sense. He's saying, I'm leaving. Where I'm going, you can't come now, but you come later, or you can come later, you know the way. You're like, wait a minute, what's the way? It makes total sense that Jesus would say, I'm the way. It does not make total sense, at least on the face of it, why he would say, I am the way and the truth. Like, how does Jesus saying that he's the truth, not just like he's true, but he is the truth. How does Jesus saying he's the truth make any sense of this conversation? Well, don't worry. If you feel confused, so did Jesus' disciples. I'm often encouraged by the kinds of questions they ask. I mean, Jesus says, hey, you know the way I'm going. And Philip's like, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then he goes on to say, listen, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's where Philip's like, oh, okay. All right, I get it. Great. Jesus, tell you what, just show us the Father and that'll be good enough for us. And I can't help but just imagine Jesus in this moment just kind of doing one of these like, oh. Which is great because Philip may be silly to ask the question, but most of us might be far sillier for not asking. Like, Jesus, what do you actually mean that if we've seen you, we've seen the Father? Like, he's actually saying something that I think is natural to ask. Okay, tell you what, show us God in heaven. That's what he means when he says, show us the Father. Show us God in heaven. Just show us him and that will be good enough for us. Jesus, if you can do that, if you can show us God in heaven, then we can actually know that you are the truth and that we actually should be following you. Jesus says, haven't you been with me all this time, Philip? How can you say, show me the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I don't speak my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. In other words, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. What Jesus is saying is that if you want to see God, if you want a picture, if you want to see God, look at Jesus, because he is the absolute truest representation of God the Father himself. That's how Jesus reveals the truth. In other words, he doesn't just reveal the truth by saying like, come here, like, let me tell you something that I happen to know is true. He says, let me reveal the truth to you. Are you ready? Look at me. In that sense, it's like Jesus is saying, I am the clearest picture of the most important, ultimate reality you could ever look at. It's almost like Jesus is saying he's a map. I know most of us probably don't do a whole lot of looking at maps anymore. And I don't mean your GPS. Like, your GPS isn't really a map. Like, I get it, uses maps, it's kind of a map, but that thing just like tells you directions turn by turn. Believe it or not, especially for those of you who are younger than me, there was a time when that didn't exist. There was a time when you had to navigate on your own. And I don't just mean, for those of you who are pretty close to my age, I don't just mean like MapQuest. Remember that? Remember when you had to like type in your own directions and like it would tell you turn by turn, but you had to print them out and like leave them on the seat next to you and like to try to drive and like, I think I know where I'm going. I don't even mean that. I even mean before MapQuest. Again, for those of you who are younger, before MapQuest, before like the internet was a thing that you could even carry around with you, you would keep a book in your glove box. And that book contained a bunch of maps of all the streets that, hopefully of all the streets that you wanted to navigate on. And like when you pulled that thing open, it didn't like magically be like, boop, here you are. Like, no, you had to like flip through that thing to figure out where you actually were. The whole thing is that the map, it was only as good as it was an accurate representation of what reality actually was. You always knew it was a bad sign if you were traveling with somebody and they had the map and you're like, okay, what turn do I take next? And you look over and they're like, and they're like turning the map like this. You're like, oh boy, that's not good. They're like flipping pages in a book. You're like, oh no, we're lost. My question to you is, what picture are you looking at to define ultimate reality for you? What is it that you are looking to give you a clear bird's eye view, a clear kind of satellite image, a clear view from above about the nature of the actual reality that you and I are living in? Now, here's the thing. I realize that that question itself might actually sound odd to you this morning. That question itself might sound strange, because I think the truth is that many of us are making our way through life without ever even asking that question. I think many of us are trying to do our best just to distract ourselves from some of life's biggest and most important questions. Look, I'm not trying to be like down on entertainment, but it's just so easy to quote unquote, so-called navigate our way through life by just getting up, hopping onto our phones, scrolling, entertaining ourselves to death, coming home, streaming, endless options, endless choices, things to capture our attention, stimulate our senses, all the while we're never stopping to actually ask the most important questions of all, of like, what is the nature of the actual world that I live in? What is the nature and purpose of my life? Like, why am I here? Where's this whole thing going? Where do true like meaning and purpose and joy and happiness come from? Like, when was the last time you actually shut everything off and sat down and actually thought about some of those questions? I mean, those are the real twists and turns that you and I need to be dealing with in this life. And we only get so long to answer those questions. And what Jesus is saying is that there is a way to answer those questions with reasonable confidence that they are true. I mean, here's the crazy thing. So often you and I just assume that we live in a world where there must be a way, and yet at the same time, so many people live in such a way that they assume that there's no such thing as truth, or there's no such thing as being able to actually come to a reasonable confidence of what is right and wrong, true or false. And what Jesus is saying is that he is the thing that you can look at. He is the thing that you can look at and have reasonable confidence that he is telling you honestly what real, true reality is all about. And you might be thinking, well, wait a minute, that's fine. Like, they could actually see Jesus. How do we do that? Jesus tells us right here. He's even saying to them, to his disciples, don't just go based on my saying to you that I am the truth in this moment. Think about all the things I've been saying to you. Think about all the things I've done before your eyes. All the things that Jesus has been saying to his disciples throughout John's gospel. Things like, I'm the bread of life. In other words, I am the one who can sustain you. I'm the one who can provide for you. I'm the one who can give you what you need. I'm the light of the world. I'm the thing that can shine light into this world for you so that you can see where you're going. Not only is Jesus the light that we can see, but he is the light by which we see everything else. He makes statements like this again and again, and he backs it up with his works. Everything from turning water into wine at a wedding, to giving a blind man sight, to helping a paralyzed man walk. He even causes a dead man to live. That's why we can know that he's the truth. That's why we can trust that he really does show us the way. Which does bring us back to that question of destination. I've kind of been using this language of home almost as like a placeholder of sorts. I think another word we could use is the word life. Not only does Jesus pave the way and reveal the truth, but he gives us life. Jesus gives us life. Again, like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way makes sense. The truth, hopefully, at least, is beginning to make a bit more sense. But what about the life? How does it make sense that Jesus would say in this conversation that he is the life? Well, to move forward, we've got to go back again in this conversation. Remember, this whole conversation unfolds after Jesus tells them that he is about to go away, that he was going to depart from them and they would not see him. Actually, what Jesus is referring to is his impending death. Even in this moment of this conversation, Judas, one of his closest friends, had already gotten up from the table and walked out the door to go betray Jesus so that Jesus would be arrested, tried, and eventually put to death on a cross. It was all set in motion. Jesus says that he's going to go away, and yet still their hearts should not be troubled. Because in his Father's house, there are many rooms. And he's going to prepare a place for them. And if he can prepare a place for them, he can prepare a place for you and me. He says he's going to come back to get them so that where I am, you can be also. What Jesus is talking about here actually redefines what we understand life to even be. Life, real life, doesn't exist in just mere physical existence. But the life that Jesus is talking about, not just a life, the life, real life, the life that Jesus is talking about is life with God, which is the kind of life that you and I were always meant to live. What Jesus is saying is that's the destination that he's gonna bring us. He's gonna bring us back into real life with God. Life with God, where we can have safety, where we can have security, where we can have provision, where we can actually be seen and known, and I mean truly known and accepted for who we are, even who we are and all our faults and sins and failures. And you might wonder, well, wait a minute, how does that all work? Like, let's say Jesus can actually get us there. Let's say Jesus can actually bring us all the way to be present with God, even God the Father in heaven. How do we know that the Father will accept us? And how do we know that it's going to be safe for us to be there? Well, in one sense, we know because Jesus is the truth and he told us so. But in an even greater sense, we know because of the way that Jesus prepares this life for us. When you know what's coming next in the story, suddenly Jesus' question to Peter begins to take on a whole new meaning. Peter says, I'll follow you anywhere. I'll lay down my life for you. Jesus says to Peter, will you lay down your life for me? The reason why it's such a silly idea to entertain that Peter would lay down his life for Jesus is because what Jesus was about to do was to lay down his life for Peter. And not just for Peter, but Jesus was about to lay down his life for anyone who would ever put their faith in him. He was about to lay down his life in order to pay for all the sins, all the faults, all the failures of all his people, all of them that we would ever, ever commit. That's how this Jesus goes to prepare a place for us, by first going to the cross and offering up his life and dying for us, and then being raised from the dead to tell us that no matter what happens in this life, Jesus is able to secure for us not only the life that we've always wanted, but he's able to secure for us the life that we've always wanted, and that it will never end. What good is it if you get everything you want in this life only for death to come and steal it away? What Jesus is saying is, he is the life, meaning that when you get life from him, he gives life in such a way that death itself can't touch it. And the reason we know that is because Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. And he went there first so that we could follow him on the way. Better believe it's the truth. Look, this doesn't just give us hope for some kind of future reality. This does actually even change the way we live now. And I'm going to close this thing down with this. We're not just cruising through life if we have faith in Christ. We're not just wandering aimlessly. We have a destination that's secure, and that doesn't necessarily make the journey easy, but it does make it easier. I mean, what's the harder question to ask and answer? Where are we going? How on earth are we ever going to get there? Or, no, like, where are we going to stop for gas on the way? Or even just, how much longer is the trip going to take? It doesn't make all the hardships of this life go away, but you better believe it makes every one of them easier to face. Because he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Without the way, there's no going. Without the truth, there's no knowing. Without the life, there's no living. Turns out Jesus really is the only way to get where we really want to go. Let's pray. Father, my prayer this morning is simply that you would enable each and every one of us to get on the road and stay on the road. Amen. Let's spend a few brief moments in silent reflection together.